Now, our book club pick of the week is the debut novel from a new British writer called Jenny Godfrey. It's called The List of Suspicious Things, and it has, I want to say, an element of the crime thriller in that it is based around a very famous murder investigation. When I say based around, that investigation provides the sort of the dramatic spine to the book. But really, this is more of a family drama and a coming of age story than it is a whodunit, because we know whodunit before the start of the book. The setting is in West Yorkshire in the 1970s. The man known as the Yorkshire Ripper has left a string of dead bodies in his wake. Police appear unable to solve the crime. Communities who once lived in peace are now locking their doors, afraid to go out at night. And anyone who knows even fragments of the story will know that the Ripper was, of course, caught, not before killing 13 women and attempting to murder at least seven others. Communities were absolutely enraged that it took police so long to catch him, particularly when it became known that when the suspect was finally caught, he had already been interviewed by police multiple times over the past few years. Now, in the book, The List of Suspicious Things, 12-year-old Miv decides that she is going to try and locate the killer herself with a little help from her friends. And it's such a great pleasure to welcome the author, Jenny Godfrey, who is joining us now via Zoom. Jenny, thank you for your time this afternoon and welcome to Cape Talk.
Hello, it's so nice to be here. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
We can, thank you. We had a few stressful moments there with the Zoom connection, but we were all loud and clear and appreciate having you with
Great.
Us. Jenny, I know this is a work of fiction. It's not a memoir, but it does draw very strongly on your own childhood and on your own family's experiences of this particular time and place, because you were born and raised in your early life in this part of the world, weren't you?
That's absolutely correct. And you're right. It is fiction, but it is very much drawn out of my childhood experience. And certainly the book is almost bookended, I guess, by two very real moments. The first being watching the television and hearing about one of the Ripper's murders as a very young child.
Yeah.
And not understanding and at the same time wanting to understand. And then towards the end, the real Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe, is caught. And that scene in the book is taken directly from my childhood because it became very apparent very quickly that my dad knew Peter Sutcliffe. Oh. And it's a childhood memory I've never, ever forgotten.
I mean, goosebumps hearing that and realizing that that element of the story is in fact based in real experience. I mean, Jenny,
yes.
What was your family's response, and particularly your father's response, hearing that news that this monster that everybody has been looking for and worrying about for 5-6 years was somebody who he had worked with? Can you take us back? Do you remember what did he discuss it with you? If you were young, did he talk about it at all?
He didn't talk about it in any detail, but what I really distinctly remember is his shock. And he just kept repeating over and over, but I know him.
Yeah.
But I know him. And he ran to his work van to get out the service logs of the vehicles. My dad was a mechanic, yeah, and he used to service the vehicles. And Peter Sutcliffe would sign to say that he'd done the work. And he wanted to show us the signature almost to prove to himself that he knew this person. And he kept saying, but he's so quiet, he's so shy. And I, as a child, clearly I didn't understand quite the depths of the horror. But I did really know about the Ripper because all children in the area did, because we'd been told to be very careful. He was like the bogeyman. So I did know about him. And the fact that he got so close to our family is something that I've carried through the years. And later on in his life, my dad went on to have quite a big religious conversion, and he became a Christian chaplain, yeah, who worked in a high security prison and worked with some of the worst murderers and criminals in the UK. And again, he never talked about it because he wasn't that kind of guy, but you can't tell me those two things aren't linked.
Yeah. And, you know, listening to you tell the story, Jenny, and talk about the impact of this new story on your childhood. I mean, it's something that shines through so strongly in this book, how it changed the way ordinary life was lived. If I may just share a very brief quote, Miv is describing how the police have shared the audio recording of the tape the Ripper called in, or the assumed Ripper called in, sort of taunting police, and how that changed everything. And the comment is that we were starting to realize that Yorkshire had changed forever in ways we couldn't fully comprehend. And that was underlined the day that Dad locked the back door before we went to bed. He had to hunt around in our kitchen drawers to find the key. It's that sense of being alive at a time of profound shift in your sense of safety in the world. And really, that's where you find the main character, Miv, or Mavis. She's on the cusp of turning 12 when we meet her at the start of the book. And this book follows her coming of age through quite difficult circumstances, personal and bigger society, social issues at this time. Now, before we talk about Miv, I want to talk about what I think is another very important character in the book, and that is the place itself. Jenny, you painted such a vivid yes. portrait of this part of Yorkshire and the people and the way community worked there, that I felt when I got to the end of it that I'd gotten to know Yorkshire just as well as I'd gotten to know the human characters. How much, I mean, I'm not sure how old you were when you left Yorkshire. How much did you have to draw on from memory, and what other sources did you pull upon?
Oh, so can I just say thank you so much for saying that? Because my intention when I wrote the book was that Yorkshire would feel like a character in the book. And to hear you say that is just so mm-hmm. gratifying. We did leave when I was young. So I was only 10 when we left. And yet, any Yorkshire person will say that you sort of never escape it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't take Yorkshire out of the child. And when we moved to the southeast of the UK, I almost forgot about Yorkshire. I became a kind of different child. I even adopted a different accent because I was bullied because of having a Yorkshire accent. And I very, very rarely thought about that part of the world. And then in 2019, a documentary was produced by the BBC called The Yorkshire Ripper Files. Mm-hmm. And it was about the search for the Yorkshire Ripper, but it was more about Yorkshire at the time. And I just remember watching it and being transported back to this childhood I very, very rarely thought about. And suddenly all these memories of the place and the time and a whole load of love for Yorkshire came over me. And I found myself, looking on Google at pictures, and in fact, I decorated my study in photos of 1970s Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to celebrate the values and the community feeling that had really stayed with me from being such a young child at a time when the world was changing, not yeah. just Yorkshire.
Absolutely. Just for anybody who's come in late to the interview, our guest is Jenny Godfrey, the author of The List of Suspicious Things. It's her debut novel. It is the story of a young girl coming of age in Yorkshire at the time of the hunt for the Yorkshire Ripper. And although, as I said at the start of the interview, that crime spree is kind of a narrative spine for the book, it's not a book of really, it's not grisly and gory and about the murders themselves. That is really the backdrop, and its impact on the society around young Miv is what is important. Of course, the other thing that I think is very important about how you portray the hunt for the Ripper and the fear in the community, etc., is this keen awareness that although we like to think of such men as monsters and think that they must be different from us, of course this book makes the point, as the real case did, that they live among us. And the Ripper is not the only monstrous man in this book. There are other examples of predators and racists and those who prey on the vulnerable in society, not necessarily to the extreme of a serial killer, but very certainly very seriously. Jenny, I mean, did you want to make that point very keenly, that they are regular people, that they live among us, that people know them and may even respect them, and that they manage to sort of hide in plain sight, as it were?
Yes, I did want to make that point. And One of the things I was really conscious of talking about was at the time in Yorkshire, everyone, because of the tape that we discussed earlier, which came from a different part of the country, everyone in Yorkshire felt that the Ripper was likely to be not somebody from around here. And so there was almost a feeling of, in Yorkshire, we are good people, we are righteous people, and it must be somebody from the outside. And one of the things that I really wanted to show through the book was, actually, it's got nothing to do with where the person came from. It's kind of, there are good and bad in all of us. And you said about the word kind of monster. And one of the things I wanted to show was that while everyone was looking in the direction of one particular monster, there were some terrible monsters around at the time, around racism, around domestic violence. So yes, that was something I wanted to make really clear.
Now, before we say goodbye, I want to ask you about the timing. I know you started working on this novel during COVID, and I'm aware of the fact that the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe, actually died of COVID in prison in 2020.
Yes.
How far were you into the book when that happened? Was it something that sort of influenced the final book? Did it change anything about the story you were telling or
No.
the way you told it?
I could not believe it. It was almost as though I finished the book and the next month he died and was all over the papers. So the only influence I think it had was when I was sending the book out to agents, he would have been at the forefront of their minds because he'd been in the headlines so much. So that's the only influence it had. I do feel though, as though, you know, kind of that was all very fated timing, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Jenny, I thoroughly enjoyed the book. I thought it was a really, really beautifully drawn perspective of a child sort of on the brink
Thank
of adolescence. I felt Miv. I went back to remembering being a 12-year-old girl and all the angst and the sort of the loss of innocence that happens in so many ways and really related to her. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show today to talk about the novel and wish you all the best going forward. Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Jenny Godfrey is the author of The List of Suspicious Things. It is available via Penguin Random House. You'll find copies in bookstores now retailing at about 340 Rand a copy. And just to emphasize again, it's not a police procedural, blood-splattered serial killer thriller. It is a very gentle coming-of-age tale of a young girl battling lots of difficult circumstances in her life, of her friendships, of her relationship with her parents, and of the search for the Yorkshire Ripper as a sort of a backdrop to the story. Do look out for it in your nearest bookstore now.